Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 37. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." The same is expounded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 27. Luke chapter 10, verse 27. So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." It's also repeated in the Gospel of Mark, but we shall not turn to that. In all these three Gospels that Jesus mentioned about loving God with all our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, Jesus used a special word for the word mind. And the word mind that he used is the word dianoia. And that's the word mind that he used. D-I-A-N-O-I-A. Dianoia. And the word dianoia refers especially to the imagination. The imagination part of our mind. If you turn to Luke chapter 1, turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, verse 51:5-1. In Mary's exaltation, it says in verse 51, "He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart." In the imagination of their heart. The word imagination here in chapter 1 verse 51 of the Gospel of Luke is the word dianoia. Dianoia. Noia. And that is a special word that Jesus used when he referred to the word mind. Sometimes in some of your Bibles, the translations keep changing for the same Greek word. I believe in being consistent. If we translate a word in a certain way, it must carry the same weight or meaning in another place. That word is the word imagination. There's another Greek word for the word mind. And that Greek word is the word that is translated thought and reasoning sometimes. And that is the Greek word logis, mind, and I'll show you a few places where they occur. And let's look in your Bibles to your Bibles in Luke chapter 9, verse 46. Luke chapter 9, verse 46. 46 and 47, it says, "Then a dispute arose among them as to which of them would be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart," the thought of their heart. Luke chapter 9, verse 46, 47. Now in Luke chapter 1, verse 51, it says, the imagination of their heart, the dianoia of their heart. And here in Luke chapter 9, verse 46-47, talks about their thinking and how they were arguing with each other, which one of them was the greatest. The thoughts were in their mind. And it's a different Greek word altogether. And the Greek word here is the word dialogismos. Dialogismos. And I want you to repeat after me, say dialogismos. Turn to the one next to you and say dialogismos. And now turn to the one on the other side and say dianoia. Say, today I'm going to remember the difference between dianoia and dialogismos. Dialogismos is spelled D-I-A-L-O-G-E-S-M-O-S. And could we have the transparency out that I have given? Underneath the transparency, I have given some transparencies for each one of you. And you notice that the size of it, it's such that you may not need your glasses. I want to make sure you get it. And so in the Greek, there are certain prepositions that are added, like the English, to the words, conjunctions and prepositions. They are added to the words. And in the Greek, they add it together. Like in English, we separate that. We say in him, and we say to the place, and say by the place. That talks about position. Now in the Greek, the word dia, D-I-A, is a preposition that means true. True. Dia means true. So when the Bible says through him, it always uses the word dia. Through him. And so they add it to the word logismos. And say that it becomes a dialogismos. And on the other word, you notice the other word is a word dianoia. That is number three there. And number three, it comes from the root word noia. So there are actually two Greek words. There are several others, but I'm focusing on these two. The word logismos refers to the analytical side of our mind. The analytical side of our mind. For example, if we say A equals to B and B equals to C, therefore A equals to C. There's not much that you imagine. All you do is analyze it. So that part of the mind, in English we have very limited words, but in the Greek their vocabulary is large. They are very descriptive on many areas that we lack in the English. And so, when they refer to the analytical side, they use the word logismos. Logismos. And the word for that would be dialogismai. But it's all from the same word, logismos. And that word talk about reasoning. Reasoning. Or arguments. Or analysis. Now that part of our mind is what the schools train us in. Do you know that most of the time in examinations and in the natural, they train you on analysis. They train you on logic. That A equals to B, B equals to C, A equals to C. So So they train you on all these analyses in the school. Most of human training and education is in the realm of reasoning, in the realm of logic and reasoning, analysis. Now that is an area that modern man has focused on a lot. The area of logismos, dialogismos, the area of our mind, the reasoning part. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4 and 5, where it says that we are to pull down strongholds, the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but they are strong to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5, it says, casting down arguments or reasonings. In the Old King James, it translates as imagination, but that is not the word for imagination. That is the word for reasoning. In that word, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5, that word there is to be translated as thoughts or reasonings, which in the New King James they have amended. It is the word dialogismos, which refers to the reasoning part. For that reason, some of your translations in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5 put arguments, casting down arguments. It's referring to human reasoning. And all this human reasoning or analysis, they are against Christ, against the word of God, are to be pulled down. That does not mean that we get rid of the laws of logic and reason. Because in Acts chapter 18, when it talks about Paul preaching the word of God, it talks about Paul reasoning, using the word logismos, reasoning, dialogismos, with the word of God. Reasoning with the word of God. Turn to Acts 18 if you please. Acts chapter 18. See Paul using the word in analytical way. You can use the word for analysis. Like for example, if Jesus took my sins on the cross, then I am free from sins. See, you're using that part of your mind to understand God's word. You're using the analytical part. If Jesus carried my sins, I don't carry them anymore. So that was what Paul was doing in Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, as he was in a synagogue and later he was in a school of one Tyrannus, he was expounding the word of God to them. In that chapter, the word occurs two times, one in verse 4, chapter 18 verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. And the word reason here is the word dialogismai, which is from the root word dialogismos, the same root word used in a verb form. Instead of a noun, is used as a verb, and then it's talking about reasoning, analysis of the word of God. What Paul was doing in the synagogue was he was preaching to the Jews. And so he was using the scripture to show that Jesus Christ is a Messiah. So he used all the Old Testament scriptures to see Jesus fulfill this scripture. Jesus fulfilled that scripture. The scripture said about this prophecy about the Messiah, Jesus will fulfill it. He was analyzing the word of God for them. Understand that. Then it's talking about the analytical part. We use it in the word of God. We use it in the word of God. So, we can use it, for example, Jesus took my sicknesses. Therefore, I'm free from sicknesses. And Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He has to die as a man because a sinless man has to die for the sins of man. It's man that is condemned, not angels and not Jesus. So, Jesus came in the form of man because man was under condemnation. See, we are using our analytical part, we are using the dialogismos. Say dialogismos means the reasoning part of my soul. We are focusing on the other part called visualizing in the spirit, and we are not focusing so much on that area. Now we are focusing on the area which we call dianoia. Now that refers to a different part of your soul. It refers to the part of your soul that perceives, that sees, that pictures. You see how limited our English language is? When we say mind, mind, that's all. When we say thought, thought. But the Greek has so many words for thoughts. They divide between analytical thoughts and picture thoughts. Vision thoughts, imagination kind of thoughts. They come in picture form. And that is the area where today, because the modern world who live in science and humanism dwell in the analytical side, and the demonic world is trying to get people into the realm of their mind where they do occult and they do all kinds of things in that realm. And the Church of God has neglected this realm. In fact, we should not neglect both realms. See, the Word of God brings understanding to our soul and the analytical side. We should develop that realm so that we could present the gospel, so that we can understand the Word of God, how it applies to our life. We must have an understanding analytically of the Word of God, how it applies to our life. At the same time, there are very few places that teach us that we have to develop on this area of our soul. That our soul needs to develop in creativity. The dianoia part of our soul, the imagination part of the soul. The root word of this word, dianoia, has been used to, as translated as behold, see. So you can see that the root of it actually refers back to imagination. And imagination is a picture. A picture. That's another part, another faculty of our mind that we could use. For example, instead of saying A equals to B and B equals to C, therefore A equals to C, which all you have to do is analyze, we could come over on this side and I could say, visualize yourself in Park Dixon sitting under the coconut tree with the sand beneath you, sitting in gently and lying down in the shade and enjoying the breeze. You could see the picture. What are we doing? We are using that part of our mind called the imagination. And that is a part of our mind that modern man has neglected. And only recently, some modern man has tried to go into the area of the psychic, and they tried to move into the area of the imagination. But the Word of God has been talking about all these things long, long ago. Long, long ago. God knows, because God is the one who created our soul. See, our body has different parts. Our body has hands. Our hands are different from our eyes. Our eyes are different from our ears. They each have a special function. Our soul has many faculties. There's a part of our soul that is for analyzing, reasoning. There's a part of our soul which is for picturing, imagining. And all these things were not created by God for the devil. They were created because we were in the image of God. It is we created in the image of God that causes us to have the ability. That ability at one point resides in God. God Himself has all these faculties within Him. Turn to the book of Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, we can off the transparency now. Thank you. Genesis chapter 6. Something that God said before He destroyed the earth in Noah's time. In verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. In your old King James, he put all every imagination of his heart, every intent of his heart. Now that word intent, translated imagination also, is the word from another Hebrew word that talks about the picture part of our mind. See, in the Hebrew, they also have the similar form like the Greek, where they refer to a certain part of the thought life and the mind. And that is a special Hebrew word that is the word yetzer. Say yes sir. And then put a T and say yetzer. It's very simple, yet sir. And you cannot remember all these words. You cannot remember daya, noya. Just remember the nonya. Okay. Then you know, you know how nonya walk. Okay. You have to be very imaginative to walk like a nonya. Right. So that is my definition. And so that helps you. That helps you to picture that daya, noya refers to the imagination part. And the word logismos, remember logos. Logos is written word. Written word refers to analytical part. Black and white. So that helps you to remember. Then the word yetzer in the Hebrew is a very, very special word that is not used very commonly. It's used for five times it has been translated as imagination or intent. At other times it was translated as form. We can on the transparency for you now. And that is number 7 on the transparency. See the word yet, sir? The last word, number 7. If you can't see this, we really have to pray for your eyes. Yet, sir. And that word is a very special word. 5 times is translated as intent or imagination. The root of it talks about picturing, seeing, imagining, the part of our mind. Now, having seen this word yet, sir, there are a few special times that is translated as something solid. Can you imagine that they use that word to refer to something that is molded? Turn to the book of Isaiah, if you please. The book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 3. Chapter 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Whose yetzer is stayed on you. The word mind here is the same word. The imagination. It's the same word translated intense or imagination. The reason they translate mind here and didn't translate mind earlier It's because it's very funny if they put it as the mind of the heart. So even the translators are struggling when they come to all these things. How to translate the mind of the heart? They could not. So they put in the Old King James, the imaginations of the heart. And in the New King James, they put the intents of the heart. But the thorough study of it talks about a solid form, a solid imagination. And next scripture I want you to see here is Psalms 103 verse 14. Psalms 103 verse 14. Same word, Yetzer. 103 verse 14. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows our frame. The word frame is the word Yetzer. Isn't it amazing? They translate the word Yetzer here as frame. Now let's see if we put it as imagination. For He knows our imagination. He remembers that we are dust. And the translators find it very difficult because they know in the Hebrew, in this sentence, they were referring to something solid. But in English definition, the word imagination is not something solid. But here in the Hebrew, it was in reference to something solid. We all understand, because last week we said that the things that are seen, say the things that are seen, are made of things which are not seen. See, we have no problem with that because we know the spiritual is as real as the physical. And the spiritual has its own tangibility. The spiritual realm has its own material that forms the physical. So we have no problem with that if we understand that the imagination is where God forms the things to come. And the imagination part of you is the part that is the creative force within you. The part that sees and forms. Let me give you another more solid word. Habakkuk. Turn to Habakkuk. Habakkuk is one of my nice friends. I like his special name. We have so many Peters, so many Marys, so many Josephs. I think we don't have one Habakkuk yet. I'm still waiting for one Habakkuk. Habakkuk, Old Testament, is one of the short books. I hope you can find it. He's so shy, but his name is hiding somewhere in between those minor prophets. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 18. Chapter 2 verse 18. You got it, say Amen. Some have got it, some have not. Some are still digging. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 18. If you have got it, say Amen. Some still looking. I told you he's a very, very special guy. Habakkuk. A very special name. Honestly, I'm still waiting for Habakkuk to come. Maybe someday some brother will come. Could you choose me a name? I already chose. Before you were born, I chose. Habakkuk will be a nice name. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 18. And probably one of the things that Habakkuk will do is they will bring joy to people. Because every time someone pronounces his name, they will laugh. Now have you all found Habakkuk? Alright, chapter 2 verse 18. What profit is the image that its maker should carve it, the molded image, a teacher of lies, that the maker of its mold should trust in it to make mute idols? Now here it is used in a negative sense, but it is talking about the prophet rebuking those idol worshippers. How they make those dumb idols. Some of you probably know better how it is done. They make them from physical objects. They mold it sometimes. Some of the time they carve it, those dumb idols. The word Yetzer is found in Habakkuk 2 verse 18 in the word mold. That the maker of its Yetzer should trust in it. The maker of its mold. In some of your old King James it says, the maker of its work. Now I'm showing you from scripture. We don't build doctrine without scripture. I'm showing you from scripture and verse that the word Yetzer, which is translated imagination, the same word translated imagination in Genesis 6 and many other times, I'll give you all the reference afterward, it is translated imagination, it's the same word translated as mole, work. I don't know what other translations you have here. Any other translations that has a different word from mold or work? If you have, shout it out. Calf. Something calf. Now what are we saying here? That the word Yetzer refers to something solid, a mold. Now here is what I want you to see. That actually the word Yetzer refers to a blueprint. Right? And the blueprint is referred in a solid way. It's referred as solid as if it is a real object. It's a blueprint. The blueprint for those dumb idols. The blueprint is in our imagination. The plans, the form, the genes. For He knows our frame even before we were. What does that refer to? That refers to our small little coded RNA, DNA. Those things that are coded inside that us when we all were conceived. So that when you were conceived, and you were just a one cell creature, a one cell human being, in that one cell is encoded a gene which will determine the color of your eyes, the color of your hair, how tall or short you will be, the color of your skin. It's all encoded inside. The Yetzer is inside. The form, the blueprint, the mold is inside. Some of you are in the mold of your father. Your physical father. Some of you look like your physical father. Of course you do. Some of you look like your physical mothers. See, they... physically, we receive part of our physical looks and makeup from our fathers. It's encoded. Even before you were 6'3" or 5'4". I'm just guessing. Or 5'7¼". Even before you are dressed beautifully, wonderfully, look at you, handsome, beautiful creature that you are. Once upon a time, you were like this. But God knows the color of your eyes, the color of your hair. What is that substance
That was the Yetzer, the imagination, the solidness, the mold, the blueprint that we're talking about. Then it's the part that God encoded within us. What is to come? Brother James, please James, can you come up? I brought with me this little thing here. Do you see this little thing? This time I need to hold it up, clear up. Can you all see? It's not a capsule. What you see is what you get. Some of you saw it say vitamin. Some of you saw it say medicine. According to your frame of reference, you saw it. Let me tell you what it is. It is a seed. It is a seed. It's a dried seed from one of those fruits. Now, inside this seed is encoded the plant. What type of plant it will be? It's all encoded inside. The blueprint is inside. No matter how this seed tries to change, it will never change beyond what is encoded inside. Now, it looks insignificant, but yet inside this is a great plant. In fact, this is a tree. It has the size of a tree inside. You don't see yet, but it's in the seed form. I want you to describe this seed. Just describe it. It's brown in color. It's in the shape of a spear. You have to describe it as much as possible for some at the back who can't see. The surface does not seem to be very smooth. How about saying it's wrinkled? Anything else you like to describe? What about the ends here? This end. Okay, the top is different from the entire shape. And would you like to guess what seed this is? Just give a guess. No idea. Would you like to guess? Something some of you have eaten. Something purchasable at the Pasar Malam. No idea. You don't dare to guess. In case you miss it. Okay, thank you. Praise God. Let's give Jesus a clap offering. Now, here is the seed. You don't see much in the seed. But do you know when God looks at this, God sees the plant. God sees how tall it will be. God even knows how many fruit it will bear before it dies off. God knows the extent of the life of this seed. But when you and I see it, we say it's dark brown, it's wrinkled, it's splat a little bit at the top with a white patch here, and it's spherical in shape. That's all you and I see. That is the way many of us treat our imagination. That is the way many of us look down on our imagination and the things we are receiving inside our yetzer of our mind. Inside the dianoia of our mind. We despise it. We put it away. We have allowed the world to cause us to be analytical creatures so that we have totally lost our creativity. And so we despise our imagination part of our life. We don't think much of it. We think it as daydreaming. Right? That's what the world calls it. And we think about it as distracting thoughts, distracting pictures. We use all these words to describe the dianoia of our mind, the imagination of our mind, the yetzer of our mind. We use all these words, we despise it, and yet the seed of your future, listen very carefully, the seed of your future is in your imagination. Jesus used this word when he said, "You shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your dianoia, with all your mind." Give him your mind, your imagination. Don't despise it. Don't look down on it, because the seed of your future is inside there. Something taking place inside. God is the same. Look at Genesis chapter 1, if you please. Genesis chapter 1. Before the world was formed, we all have read Hebrews 11 verse 3 last week, where we say that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed or formed by the word of God. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1. See, God himself has an imagination. God has an analytical part to his nature. God is not like us. We were made like him. It's the other way around. We have an imagination because we were made like him. Genesis 1. Before God said anything, I want you to see what God was doing. I know all of you know that God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. But I want you to see what God did before he said anything. Before he said any words, what was he doing? Through his spirit. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Verse 1 and 2. He says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form." There was nothing. No form. Just a mess. The earth was without form and void. That means nothingness. There was completely nothing. You and I don't exist. The universe didn't exist. There was nothing. Everything was dark and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep, not on the face of the earth. There was no earth yet. Darkness was on the face of the deep. It was just inky blank space. That's all it was. Void. Nothingness. God started his blueprint. God started forming the image. In verse 2, "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water." Marvelous. "And the Spirit of God was hovering. God is not wasting time. Don't look at that verse and think God was wasting His time. There's a purpose for the scripture to record this. The word hovering in the Hebrew is the word brooding. It is the same word they would have used for the chicken that sits on the egg. Hatching. Hatching. They were hatching. Brooding. The Young's analytical translation of the Bible translates, and the Spirit of God was brooding over the earth. The Amplified Bible also translated it brooding. And the Old King James put moving. Is that what it puts? All you Old King James. Moving. Or upon. I haven't read the Old King James for so long, I forgot what it said. What did it say? Upon. That is very blur. But here the New King James has improved on that and says hovering. You know what hovering is? That was what the Holy Spirit was doing. What was He doing? God was forming a yetzer. See, when God made something, something has to be in His mind first. It has to be in His mind first. When God made something, it has to be in His mind first. Let me take my Bible. Long ago, they never make books this way. Long ago, they have not learned how to bind books at a side. The books were all rolled up into rolls. So when you read a book, you will have to roll, 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 roll and unroll. But one day, it came into the mind of somebody that they could do this. And so they tested and they did it out. Take the image of Habakkuk 2 verse 18. There was this idolater. Before they make the idol, they have an image. And many times those images came from the devil. That's why they were able to make them look like the devil. They have got it from somewhere. They had an image and they make the physical image with their hands as they see it inside them. There's something inside that they see and then they made it. Now this pulpit here, made of plastic, before this pulpit was made, I had an image inside me how I want it to be like. There were so many shapes. We could make it square. We could make it rectangular. We could make it a curve. And so, before it was made, I had an idea. I see it inside and I draw it out for the person. I said, I like it to be five-sided on the side here. And one side here empty, facing the congregation. I saw it inside me, I sketch it out. And they followed the instructions. They followed the instructions. So before we make something physically, we have to conceive it in something inside us. The part of your yetzer. The creative part of your mind, the imagination part of your mind, conceive it. When it's conceived, it comes out. What was God doing? Says the Spirit of God was hovering. Was hovering over the earth. There was, what was there in the earth? If we could all take ourselves, go in a time machine, and go back into that time, and look out at the Spirit of God hovering, we would have seen nothing. But God started forming the yetzer. God began to see light. God began to see the animals. God began to see Adam and Eve. God saw all these things in him. Before it came out of his mouth, it was in the mind of God. I like a song that says, I was in his mind before the earth were made. I was in his thoughts the night he prayed for me. I was in him. He had me in mind. He saw. That's why in John 17 when he prayed for others who will come to know him through those who he has at that time. And that prayer included you and I. We came to know him through somebody else who knew him along the line. So God was forming it perfectly. Remember, God is not hepsy-turvy. I was going to say topsy-turvy. Many of us, we don't form something clearly inside and we started acting. So when we start acting halfway, we have to rethink and sometimes remold and sometimes remake. God doesn't make mistakes. The moment you conceive it, speak it, that's it. There's nothing more you can improve on that. But most human beings, they conceive it partly and it's not yet fully formed, and they try this and they try that along the way, and it's not a perfect work. Whereas God was conceiving, the Spirit of God was hovering. And finally, when God saw everything, before the first to the sixth day happened, he already saw it inside himself. And when it was all formed nicely, he just had to say what he wanted. He said what he wanted, and it all was made. The other 6 days, he said, let there be light, and there was light. He formed in himself the Yetzer. And God said, let us make man in our image. And he made man like him. He made us like him. We have the same potential and ability to create physically what we conceive in our imagination. When they were building the Tower of Babel, God said, let us go down and confound them. For if they are one accord in this way that they are, nothing shall be impossible to them. They can do it. So God divided the languages so that they could not do something against the law. Today, the devil has made use of our fallen imagination to conceive the wrong things. Before you act a sin, you saw a sin. You saw it inside you and you conceive it in your mind. Jesus said in Matthew, if you look at a woman with lust, you have done it in your heart. The next thing is to carry it out with your body. What was Jesus saying? The imagination, the thoughts of the heart, the dianoia of the heart is important. You have to guard it, nurture it. That's the part of you that God wants to paint a new image. The image of your future. The blueprint for your life. The same words in Hebrew chapter 8 and Hebrew chapter 10, when it says that God says, I will write my laws in their hearts and in their minds. The word minds is the same Greek word, dianoia.
I will write my words in their imagination. Don't despise the seed of your imagination. Don't despise it. The seed of your imagination is vital, is powerful. And that seed is a seed of your future. You're going to build on it, and God is going to use it to build your life. To build your life. His painting is writing on your imagination. How does He write on our imagination? Turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, the word of God comes right in between our spirit and in our soul. And it begins to act on the soul part of our imagination. The thoughts and intents of the heart. Remember what we said? When the word heart is mentioned, it always has a reference to the dianoia. When God used the word heart, it talks about how all the heart proceeded, all these things. It refers to the creativity part of your being. And it's that part of you that the Word of God right now is writing it. The blueprint for your life. And it's a special word that is used here in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. The word intents of the heart is the word from the root word noia. We can honor transparency for some of you here. See, I mentioned about the word noia and how you add the word dia, it becomes dia noia, through the imagination. And then in Hebrews 4 verse 12, it is the word ennoia, E-N, plus the noia. And that is the word which is in number 5, N plus the noia. The intents of the heart is the ennoia. The word N talks about in. The word, the Greek word for in is N, E-N. And that word talks about the focus of the sword of the Spirit that is writing in our noia, our imagination. In our imagination, in noia. So the Word of God must come into our hearts and into our lives and write in the corridors and what I would say, the womb of our imagination, the canvas of our imagination, the scroll of our life, the blueprint for our life. The Word of God must come into our imagination. Don't use the word just for analysis, logismos. But use the word and let the word write in the corridors of your imagination so that you begin to see the blueprint in your life. You start with the Logos of God, the written word. the sword of the Spirit. It discerns, it judges, it removes those things that are not in line with the Word. There are a lot of imaginations in our life that are from the past, from our unrenewed mind, from the world, from things that you see and do today. If you watch TV a lot, you read a lot of non-Christian literature, you will have a lot of this junk inside your imagination. It's very difficult for God to write. He has to clean it first. And so, God says, guard it. It's a seed and a blueprint of your life. It's very important for us to guard it. And the other word is the word thoughts. Discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word intent we have mentioned is the imagination of the heart. The word thoughts here is a special word that occurs a few times only in the New Testament. It's the word entomesis. It's number 6 there on the screen. Entomesis is talking about a form. It's a word that is used for form. Form. There's a solidness about it. It's the same Greek word used in Acts chapter 17, verse 29. Entomesis. Acts 17, verse 29. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. The word devising, or sometimes translated man's devices, is the word entomesis. The devices of the heart, the forms that it began to take. You see how solid it is talking about now? Imagination and form. So the Word of God is like a two-edged sword. It's quick, it's powerful. It divides between the soul and the spirit, the bones and the marrow. And it acts upon the imagination, the formation part of our heart. If God can change your imagination, He can change you. If God cannot change your imagination, He can't change you. Your imagination is the seed of your future. It's the formation of your future. It's the womb of your future, where the blueprint of your future is being formed. Don't despise it. You say, how am I going to form it clearly? You need first a general plan of God to put into your life. See, all of us need a general plan of God, which is a written word. Let me show you. I have here for you a map. Now, I want you to close your eyes and can you picture Malaysia, east and west together? Can you picture? You could easily picture it because you've seen it somewhere. But if nobody show you a picture, you would probably not know what it looks like. If I ask you to picture what your brain looks like, you only had a reference from the books or some other pictures of what the brain looks like, because you can't see into your own brain. So how can we build our imagination? The word logos is used, the logos of God, in Hebrews 4:12. The word, the logos of God, is quick, is powerful. It's just like you need the general plan first. You need, for example, this map here. Could we have Brother Shankar is tall and just hold it up? Be my screen. Okay, could you hold it up this way? Down here will do. Now, alright, most of them can't see. Let's come up here. Alright, stand up there. Hold it up. Hi. Alright. Now, most of you, if I were to ask you, where do you live in Malaysia? Your eyes will automatically point to somewhere here. Your eyes will automatically focus on from all the whole part of Malaysia into one tiny part. So you will know where you live. But if there was visitors from outstation, from Singapore or Penang, and I'll say, where do you live? They will straight away point here or there. Their attention will be focused. Now, what is God's will for your life? You must first of all have the general word. You must find out what the general will of God is to do. Writing the general will of God into your heart and mind. You know that it is God's will to save souls. So you know that God has forgiven your sins. You know it is the will of God to heal the sick. So you write it inside. You know that it is the will of God for you to prosper and be in health. So you write it inside. You know it is the will of God to do good. So you get it inside. You get it all from the written word. So you have to get yourself into the general plan first. But if I ask you, where do you stay, and you put your fat finger here, do you know you put your fat finger there, it could probably be about 1 acre, you're not that fat. Then you zoom in closer into a closer area. And I take what is familiar for me. Hey, don't go back yet. And I say, alright, now that we know, I'm sorry for your KL folks. Now that we know you live in PJ, we hold it up. We say, you zoom in on one area. So you zoom in on one area and you begin to see a clearer picture. Do you know what I mean? Your imagination has to see clearly. Most of us are only seeing this picture. When we say, what is it that you conceive about what God wills is for you, you just point to this. Point to this. So say, where do you live? Malaysia? Malaysia is so big. Where do you stay? In Malaysia? What do you intend to do? Stay in Malaysia? Malaysia is so big. That's what people's problems are many times. They are not specific in their imagination. Their imagination is just general. Their imagination sometimes is even fuzzy. So you begin to go into greater detail with the help of the Rhema of God. See, God's personal word to you.
Do you know sometimes the Spirit of God speaks visions, dreams, personal words to you? God's will for you. Example, it is not God's will for me to be a missionary to the North Pole, so I don't flow in that. I know what God asked me to do. I don't try to be something God never asked me to. And there's no point for me visualizing snow, reindeers, and a slide. Looking more like Santa Claus than anything. And I don't make a good Santa Claus and do skinny do we want. It would do me no good to visualize in that area, because that is not what God's purpose is. So I have to spend time fasting, praying. Sometimes God speaks a word of prophecy, so the picture in my life becomes clearer. A prophecy helps you to see clearer. And then sometimes in reading the Bible, certain things jump up at you. Certain things cause it to be clearer. So you know your life is more defined. You know more and more where God falls, wants to work in your life. For some of you, when I was teaching to the prosperity series, some of you began to see there is God's will for you to be one of those with the grace of giving. So you began to be more defined in what you can visualize. In the same way, the Word of God helps us to go into more specific area, more definitions. Our imagination becomes clearer. I want you to know that when God sees this seed, He saw the plant. When you and I see this seed, we only see the seed. God sees in great detail. The Spirit of God was hovering. When God saw you before you were born, God even knew how tall you will be, or how short you will be, or how, slender you will be. God knows it. God sees you in detail. Do you know God knows how you will look like? He knows all the specifics. He sees it inside. Is through His powerful, omnipotent imagination. We have a limited part of that. But whatever we have to be faithful to God. We have to see in specific details. And so, then we begin to zoom in. And then we begin to see, for example, the map of Petaling Jaya. And then on this map is a very clear map. The house numbers are also inside, from one lot to the other lot. So I could see exactly in detail where my house is. I'm looking for it right now at the moment. Hope they haven't removed my house. Now, if I tell you that this is where I live, then, for example, there is my road here, 2424, right here. And now it says number 1, and there is number 3 there. So I could point exactly to the exact area, and all you see is just the spot. And if you think that that was detailed enough, after you see that detail, you have to go right down, because I told you it's at number 3, SS 24, through 24. I'm not implying that, oh, you should go there now. You want to do caroling, you come over on the 24th of December. 24th, you'll be here 23rd of December. But you see a number 3 and a number SS 24, stroke 24. Then you still do not know whether it's a single story house or double story house or a terrace house. You see what I mean? We need to go into details. We need to work with details in our life. Thank you, Shankar. We won't tire your arms. Praise God. Give Jesus a clap offering for Shankar as he goes back. Praise God. Praise God. Now we are done with this. So we have to see in great detail. In the corridors of our imagination. The canvas of our imagination. The womb of our imagination. The blueprint. The genes of our imagination. We have to have it all encoded clearly. These things don't come by accident. Right now, when God looks at you, when God looks at you right now, God can see according to your level of faithfulness in the Word, your level of your working and renewal of mind. God knows where you will be in 20 years' time by looking at you. You must understand the terminology of God. God sees and He knows right now. And if you change your lifestyle, God also sees the change straight away. The whole picture is changed. It's just like in a computer. For example, you could have a certain formula and you punch in certain things and you say, I'd like to see what the graph will look like if, for example, every month this is what we sell in the company and how frequently we sell it, and you give all the information, it will paint a graph. Then you say, paint a graph as far as you want the computer to go to. Even if you keep at that rate, for how long? Let me simplify it. For example, if you punch in the computer saying that if the birth rate in Malaysia is at, birth rate, let's say it is about 10%. Am I too modest? You punch in the computer from the present population, they will put a graph out. Then you say, alright computer, the graph will go right up to as far as you want in time. Then if you want to change it, you punch in the computer and you say, you program it and you say, let's say the birth rate is 15%, how much will it be? So it will change the whole thing. Then it's the way God sees you and I. When He looks at you, He knows from your attitudes, from what you are doing, from your discipline, from your faithfulness to the Word, and most of all, in your imagination. That is where all the spiritual genes are. When He looks at it, He knows where you will be. But the good news is that in Hebrews 4:12, now we can change before it happens. Now we can change our lives. Now we can change what our future will be like. We are not being fated to do something. Your destiny is in your own hands. What you do with your destiny is determined by what you do right now in the corridors of your imagination. Your faithfulness to input the word in, to write the word in the mind and in the heart. See a clear picture. And the day you could see, the Holy Spirit sometimes helps us by giving us visions and dreams. A number of you have visions and dreams. When you share with me, I always told you one thing. Write it down. Because those visions and dreams that God gave you are to be encoded into your imagination. So that through your meditation, you could produce it at some time in the future. Meditate on them. Sometimes a man of God comes and gives you a prophecy. As far as you remember, write it down. Check it with your inner witness. If it's in line with God, receive it. Get it encoded into your imagination. And the day you could conceive a clear picture, the birth begins to come. You begin to give birth to it. And the giving birth from the imagination area, from the spirit realm, I call it the spirit realm, comes suddenly. It's amazing. It comes suddenly. You have to understand the terminology of God. Acts chapter 2 verse 2 tells us, and they were all in the upper room, and they were praying for about 10 days. They were waiting and praying. Acts 2 verse 2 says, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, suddenly there was a sound like a rush of a mighty wind. Suddenly, the word suddenly can be misleading, because the word suddenly looks as if it's something unexpected, something that is a surprise. But yet, they were up there in the upper room praying for the pouring down of the Holy Spirit. It was not something that they didn't expect. They expected it. They wanted it. They were in great expectancy. This was what they were praying for. This was what they were travailing for. This was what they were weeping and crying for. In one accord together, waiting on God. But what happened is when the fullness of time came, deep within them, there was a fullness. The timing of God came and it just burst forth. It may take a long time for God to build the imagination area, but the day you could receive it into your heart and you see it in great detail, it's going to be so encoded in you that nothing can shake it and change it. Come what may, come flood, come storm, whether you have to climb over, whether you have to go under, whether you have to swim or sing, when it's encoded inside you, you are like a bulwark before the devil. You are unshakable. Jesus was that way. He saw what the Father wanted him to do. He never turned to the left or to the right. The book of Hebrews 12 verse 1 and 2, it tells us Jesus saw the joy that was set before him. It was encoded within him. He knew what he was to do. He had no time to waste. Come what may, he will follow what God has encoded within him. God's Spirit is at work in our lives. We have the destiny in our hand. And more accurately, in your imagination. Would you all stand together with me? Stand in reverence to God. The Spirit of God hovers over your imagination. The Spirit, the blood, and the Word works in oneness. And right now, in the corridors of your imagination, in the womb of your imagination,
God is doing a writing. He has spoken to some of your lives in dream. Some of you have spoken in vision. Some of you are not holding it fast to what God has spoken. The Spirit of God just wants you to yield and let Him form what He wants inside. And what is formed right now, as I look at you, I cannot see your imagination, but God can. But you can see what is inside your own imagination. If there are any junk inside, if there's any junk inside, you have to remove it. You have to wash it out by the word, by the blood. God will not tolerate junk. You have to remove and cleanse it completely away. Your heart and desire has to be right. The Spirit of God is asking you to search your hearts and your mind. Then there are things that God has spoken to some of you. Some of you know exactly what God wants you to do. He has encoded that inside you. It has come in the form of desire, partly vision, partly dream, and impressions, and His inward voice. You are wholly accountable to be faithful to allow it to form inside you. To conceive it inside your innermost being. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Fall fresh on me. Some of you have been praying for healing, exercising your faith. Every problem you have that you cannot receive an answer from God, check your imagination. Inside you is locked an image of sickness. Inside you is locked an image of bondage. That's why no matter what you do outside, unless you change the inside, the outside won't change. Some of you are struggling with bad habits. Unless you change the inside, the outside will not change. Inside are pictures of defeat, pictures of failure, and some others pictures of sicknesses. You've been in sickness for so long. You've been in sickness for so long. You've been suffering for so long that the image is locked inside you. You have to unlock it by your free will and allow the blood of Jesus to eliminate, to purge out all those wrong images. Only the blood can wash away the depths of our imagination. Only the blood can touch the area. Some of you are not receiving answers to prayers like you should. Because locked into your imagination is an image of failure and of your problem instead of the answer. You're seeing the problem and the mountain instead of seeing the answer and the solution. Unless you have locked into your imagination, encoded inside the answer, as God sees it, ask God to show you how He sees the situation. And once He shows you, hang on to it, hold on to how He shows you. And hold it in your imagination. If you hold it long enough, it will begin to affect your life and your circumstances. You hold the key to the miracle in your life. Let Him mold you, make you after He will. Make me feel. Spirit of God is just hovering in our midst. In the innermost parts of your being, the presence of God is surrounding you, filling you, touching you, molding you. Grant the miracles. Grant the breakthroughs in our life that You have spoken. O precious Father, You are the true and the living God. There is none like You. There is none before You. O Father, You know our lives. You know our hearts very gently, quietly, slowly. Oh Father, we pray for each one here. Our future, our destiny. is in our innermost hearts and minds. You have said that you want to give us a hope and a future. Lord, your church is a victorious, overcoming church. You're not coming to receive a sick, defeated, and failing church. You're coming to receive a victorious, glorious bride, where there is none that are sick, where there is none that have a need, where there is none very gently soft, where there is none, O Lord, just sing it softly from your heart.